Your allegiance has to be to the business first, because without that, all the good things that you want to do are going to fail.
That is the voice of Shark Tank's Kevin O'Leary, and he's going to give us 7 super tips on today's Super You podcast.
It's one small step for man.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
We choose to go to the moon, not because they are easy, but because they are
hard. I have a dream.
You can't handle the truth.
7.
6.
5.
4.
3.
2.
1.
Super, 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 super.
Super You. Welcome to the Super You Podcast, the podcast designed to entertain, educate, and empower you to your best life, or simply put, a podcast for those looking to unlock and unleash your superpowers on the world. I'm your host, Eric Qualman, but many of you know me as Equal Man. I've been blessed to write 6 best-selling books, perform in over 50 countries, and reach 30 million people this decade. So thank you for listening, and thank you for your support. On today's show, we have the Shark Tank's Kevin O'Leary. He's going to give us 7 super tips. And most of you may not know that O'Leary gained his marketing experience at Nabisco before he went on and founded the software company SoftKey, which he eventually acquired the Learning Company and then took the Learning Company name, which he got his riches from selling to Mattel. And so that is how we know Kevin O'Leary from the Shark Tank. Here's Kevin with tip number 1.
Your allegiance has to be to the business first, because without that, all the good things that you want to do are going to fail. And so as your business grows and you make decisions about individual people, you can't let your emotion get in the way of what you really need to do, which is to drive success of the business. And so the minute you get your first customer, you now become number 2. The minute you get your first investor, now you're number 3. The minute you hire your second employer, you're number 4. It's still your business, but now you know who you have to serve. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs that fail don't understand that you're always serving someone, a shareholder, a customer, the business. And if you lose sight of that by letting your emotions get in the way, and this often happens, certainly happened to me in early days, many people hire their friends. They start a company with their friend or with their brother.
Good way to end a friendship.
Or it's a family business. And very often, nepotism is what kills the golden goose. Because very often the better manager is not your sister, brother, uncle, cousin, whatever. And I live through this all the time in the companies that I'm an investor in. I have 32 portfolio companies now. I watch this happen every day. And I don't let emotion get in the way of the true pursuit of what matters, the success of the business.
Don't let your emotions get in the way of business. In part, I'm guessing he was molded from his experience on meeting Steve Jobs, because O'Leary posted this in the Huffington Post. He, Jobs, stubbornly refused to give me a cent and insulted me for daring to ask for his money. He was so adamant about watching his company's cash that he kept yelling profanities even in the parking lot as I was getting into my car to leave. O'Leary further went on to write that Steve Jobs certainly has his critics. Some saw him as an egomaniac and others as a control freak. He would remember who on his team added value and who didn't. And he never apologized for his relentless, visionary drive, because he understood that business is about making money, not making friends. Like every CEO should, Steve Jobs kept a laser-like focus on creating value for his shareholders. Tip number 2.
Learned over time, and I think every entrepreneur should trust their feelings, because I've learned every time I don't listen to my gut, I lose money. Every time I say to myself, no, you're wrong about that, I second guess myself, I lose money. You have to listen. Successful entrepreneurs have a spider sense. I really believe that. They know what's right. They know what's wrong. They have to listen to themselves. And it doesn't always work out, but the minute you second guess yourself, you're screwed. You really are. You are no longer a leader. People that follow you into dark places have to trust you, and you have to trust yourself.
By trusting his spider sense, O'Leary has been able to amass over $400 million in net worth, making him the second richest shark after Mark Cuban. And moving on to tip number three.
First lesson, which is, you know, encrypted in my DNA now, was the idea of working for, you know, pay. And my first job was in high school, and I got it specifically because there was a girl in my grade that I was really interested in, and she got a job at the shoe store in the mall, and I was able to get a job across in the ice cream parlor. And my plan was, you know, when the mall closed down, we could go out, you know, and hang out together, which was a good plan. And so I told her, look, I got a job across the way. And my first day on the job, I'll never forget it, you know, she was in the window putting in the shoes there. It's a small mall. And I was in this ice cream store scooping ice cream. And when people, you know, my first day, it was owned by a woman, I'll never forget it. She says, look, when people ask you for a sampler, here's a little wooden spoon, give them a little sample. But what happens when that occurs, you know, when people do samples, they take their gum out of their mouth and they throw it on the floor. So all day long, gum was piling up on the floor, Mexican tiles in this place. So the first day is over, and she said, you did a great job. You sold $4,000 of ice cream, whatever it was. But now you've got to finish up, and you've got to take all the gum off the floor. Now, at that moment, the girl I was interested in was looking at me, waiting to see when I was going to walk out of the store. And I realized, if I get down on my knees and scrape gum, I'm in trouble here. This is not a good look. I said to her, look, you hired me as a scooper, not a scraper. And she said, no, I hired you as an employee. You do whatever I say. I own this store. Whatever I say, you're going to do. And I said, I don't think so. If you want to hire somebody to take gum off the floor, that's a different job. If I'd known that, I probably wouldn't take this position. She said, how about this? You're fired. And I went, whoa, what's that mean? And she said, it means you get back on your bicycle, go home, don't come back here. I'll send you for your today's pay. I was so humiliated when I got home and explained that to my mother. She said, you should have done what she asked. And I realized right then, and this is the important lesson, this is one of those pivotal moments. In life, there's two types of people. There's the people that own the store, and there's the people that scrape the shit off the floor. And you have to decide, which one are you? I'm not saying it's bad to be an employee, but she taught me such an important lesson. The humiliation of not controlling your own destiny is evident in that story, because that's the way I read it. I thought, this is horrible. Whatever she says I have to do, I'm not going to live my life that way. I never worked another day in my life for somebody, ever again.
We are always looking for recurring themes and tips on the Super You podcast, and one that we always hear is control what you can control. Successful people control what they can control. Unsuccessful people say things like, if only, oh, it's because of this. They think that external forces are causing them not to be successful, while the successful people understand, hey, those external forces are there. They're going to keep the competition out. I'm going to utilize those to my best of my ability, and I'm going to control what I can control. Here's tip number four.
Every entrepreneur I meet is very passionate. That's just part of the equation. I actually argue that what matters most is executional skills. Every entrepreneur is passionate. Everybody that is an entrepreneur is ready to take that journey and go down that road, and that's great. But the ones that are still doing it 3 years later have executional skills. So that's what I think matters above everything else. I meet lots of teams. I fund lots of companies. I see lots of failure and lots of successes. The difference is men and women, primarily women these days, that can really execute, that set goals, tell you what they are, talk to you every 3 months saying, I achieved this goal or I didn't, and why. And to me, that's the building block of a business. There's nothing worse than vision all day long.
I could not agree with this tip more. As an investor myself, I've lost many dollars learning this lesson the hard way, so hopefully you can learn from my mistakes and also Kevin's mistakes, is that it's all about execution. You've got to find people that are willing to say, here's my goal, and I'm going to do everything that I need to do every day, that grit and that grind. It's all about that process and trusting in that process, and then reporting back quarterly, monthly on how are you doing towards that goal. And that's the only way you can achieve that. And so think about, if you're running a marathon, you wouldn't go up to someone, oh, you're going to run the marathon, you're going to do it. Well, I hope so. No, you're going to have a plan. You're going to say, I need to run this amount of miles by this date. And my hope is I want to run a certain time. It's like you're training for that specific time. The same holds true in business. You need to have those goals. But most importantly, as Kevin mentions, it's all around that day-to-day execution. Tip number 5.
Unfortunately, one of the great benefits of technology is productivity. One of the big downsides, it's incredibly distracting. People check their Twitter account, or they'll answer a Facebook message, or they'll do something that has nothing to do with making money. Mm-hmm. And the reason you go to work in the morning is to make money. That's what you're there for. All the other wonderful things you can do with your time are based on your ability to create an income for yourself and your family. So why spend any time doing all that crap, which is distracting? And so that's the number one thing I find in my companies is when you see someone failing and you look at how they manage their time, you'll see right there what's going on. They're not focused on what matters.
Those that win eliminate the crap, as O'Leary says. We like to use the term throughput. Avoid throughput, focus on output. It's all about those outcomes. And so when you think about throughput, the reason we go and answer our email is because it actually makes us feel good. It gives us a dopamine hit, which is very, very addictive. It feels like we're being productive, but most of the times we're not. We're just producing throughput. We're working hard, we're just not producing any outcomes. And a quick story on how little throughput matters. So most of us listening, we get about 1,200 emails a week on average, and that's what I was getting when I was the head of marketing at Travelzoo. We were fortunate, Travelzoo became the top performing stock on the NASDAQ, but with that came a lot of stress, and so I needed a vacation. And so I didn't want to take my device with me when I went on vacation. So what I did is I set up my out-of-office email response to say, thank you for your email. We apologize, but the server is temporarily full. If your email is important, please resend it on October 1st. That's the day that I was coming back from my vacation. Again, I wasn't lying because I said server, not email server. I was the server. I was at capacity. I got back from my trip. I didn't check any of my email while I was on my vacation. And when I got back, I deleted all of my email. And I was sweating bullets. I was nervous. Am I going to get fired? Am I going to get in trouble? What was in the email? Did I miss something important? And we probably can know the end of the story by now. Nothing of significance happened. I received 1,247 emails. And guess how many people thought it was important enough to resend the email? Eight out of 1,247. That's how little throughput matters, or that's how little the crap matters, as Kevin O'Leary states it. So as you go out there today, try to focus on the important, not the immediate. And you know what that is. Don't avoid that email at the beginning of the day. Use your brain for something that's much more powerful and a bigger outcome than just answering your email. Save your email for later in the day when your brain's tired. So again, it's all about hyper-focusing on the important and not on the immediate. So as you go out there today, try to focus on the important, not the immediate. Here is tip number 6.
You make mistakes. It's impossible to make 100% success in every stock you buy. It's the minute you start losing, you've got to take it behind the barn and shoot it. And you have to realize, I hope I learned from that mistake, but you don't always. I rather invest in entrepreneurs that have had multiple failures before I meet them. I love the sting of failure as a motivational tool for somebody that wants to succeed versus somebody that says to me, well, I've never run a business. This is my first turbo baster. I'm showing it to you now. And that's, to me, that person isn't ready for prime time. I love what failure does to your way of thinking. It brings fear into it, and it's great.
A lot of you that are fans of the Shark Tank know that they call Kevin Mr. Wonderful on the show. He actually got that name from one of the episodes in season 1 when he was trying to take 51% from one of the entrepreneurs. And Barbara Corcoran said, well, aren't you Mr. Wonderful? And he said, you know what, Barbara? I am. And what he's found, it's gone to a whole new level so that when he goes to hotels, they don't even know his name. They just have him down as Mr. Wonderful. And what we like to stress on this show and what we've heard from a lot of the successful people out there is that things happen for you, not to you. So the next time that someone gives you a new nickname, remember that things happen for you, not to you. Here is tip number 7 from Mr. Wonderful.
I've also learned over a long career that everybody's replaceable. I love it when somebody says to me, oh, we can't get rid of that person. They're irreplaceable. I fire them right there. Everybody has to understand that whatever you do, somebody can do it better. You have to bring your A game in every single day. There's nothing unique about any one individual. What's unique is their passion, their ability to execute, to meet targets and exceed them. The minute you lose that ability, in capitalism, you're gone. It's a fair trade. The engine that makes you rich can take it all away from you. There are no guarantees.
In business and in capitalism, no one is unreplaceable. But in life, the most important job, and the job where you cannot be replaced, is that of a mother and a father. So as you go out there and have success and go out there and get wealth, understand it's that balance and understand what wealth means to you. For some people, it's different. For me, wealth is being able to spend time with my friends, my family, and it affords me to do that is by owning the company and by having success in business. It affords me that luxury of spending more time with my loved ones. So the definition of wealth is certainly changing. It's certainly different for everyone. But my hope is that with this show, you're getting those 7 super tips each and every episode that help unlock and unleash that superpower that's in all of us. So in summary, here are the 7 super tips from the Shark Tank's Mr. Wonderful. Tip number 1, don't let emotions interfere with business. Tip number 2 was listen to your instincts. Tip number 3 was control your own destiny. Tip number 4 was it's all about execution. Execute your goals. Tip number 5, make sure on a day-to-day basis you focus on what matters. Tip number 6, failure is actually motivation. And tip number 7, anyone in business is always replaceable. My favorite tip from Mr. Wonderful was tip number 4, execute on your goals. Without execution, you have nothing. Thank you for joining us for today's Super You podcast. Make sure you get the next episode by hitting that subscribe button. That'll ensure you do not miss the next episode, which you will certainly not want to miss because it's going into depth and into the story and into the life in capturing 7 super tips from the uber talented Anthony Bourdain.
These days, if I fail, it's because I tried to do something and did not succeed.
These tips from today's top thought leaders are a fantastic reminder to all of us that it's not about being perfect, it's about being the perfect you. Thank you for listening to today's Super You podcast. I'm your host, Eric Qualman. Most of you know me as Equal Man. And until next time, remember, it's not what we take from the world, it's what we leave behind.
7
6
5
4
3
2
1
Super, 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 super.
Super you.